Kof Hei Tammuz, Sunday the 15th of July, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen. How far must one go to protect the feelings of another?
Good morning. We're in the middle of the 3 weeks, and sometimes people feel when it comes to this time of year, they find it difficult to fully feel the avelus which we should be feeling, to fully feel this feeling of missing the Beis HaMikdash and all that goes with it. The Mefarshim explained that when we have the Beis HaMikdash, the Tzakas of the Beis HaMikdash was in order to bring Korbanos. Korbanos come from the word Korev, to bring us nearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we find that when Yosef and Binyamin met in Mitzrayim, it says they cried out Tzavorev, they cried by each other's necks. And Rashi explains that the reason why they were crying was because of the two Batei Mikdashim which would be built in the Chelik of Binyamin, which would then be ultimately destroyed. Shimon Schwab explains that the reason why the Lashon, the Torah refers dafka to a neck when it's speaking about the Beis HaMikdash, is because just like a neck in the body is the part that connects the head to the rest of the body, the head which normally symbolizes Ruchnius and the rest of the body which symbolizes Gashmius, so too in this world, in Olam Hazeh, where we have the world which we live in, which is Olam HaGashmi, and the Olam HaElyonim, which is Olam HaRuchni, so the tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring down the Shefa from the Olam HaRuchni into our world. This is clearly something which is difficult for us to appreciate. If you give a moshel, imagine you have two blind men which are in hospital and they're due to have major surgery which will, mitzvah Hashem, give them the ability to see. Groundbreaking surgery which will give them the ability to see. Reuven and Shimon. And the difference between them is that Reuven has unfortunately been blind from birth. He's never been able to see. And Shimon is someone who could see for many, many years, and then something happens and he lost his vision, and he's been blind for 10 years, and now he's come up for this surgery. And they're both lying there in hospital, and they're both talking to their family and to the doctors and the nurses about the upcoming surgery and how it should impact on their lives. When it comes to Shimon, he doesn't need anyone to tell him how it's going to make an impact on his life. He knows what it means to see. He knows what it means that he's missed the last 10 years. He hasn't been able to see the faces of his family as they've grown up. He hasn't been able to see the basic things which we take for granted. When it comes to Reuven, he knows that life will be easier for him when he can see, because he'll be able to move around and drive and everything else. He'll be able to see what his mishpacha actually look like. But he cannot understand what it is he's missing. If you sit with him and try to explain to him, imagine you'll be able to see colors. How can he possibly understand the concept of colors? Different shades. How are you going to explain to him? He doesn't understand what you're talking about. So too with us. We were never zeichet to be alive at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Not us, not our parents, not our grandparents, not our great-grandparents. We've never spoken to someone who was alive at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's very, very difficult for us to comprehend what it is exactly that we're missing. But just like Reuven, if he's sitting there in hospital and someone who can see sits with him and tries to explain to him, take it from me, your whole life is going to change in a major way. The whole quality of life is going to be a different quality. Then he believes him because he knows this person can see. So too when we see what Chazal have to tell us about how different Klal Yisrael's life is when we have a Beis HaMikdash, that should in some way help us appreciate what it is that we're missing. In the Gemara in Gittin, Dafman Zayin, famous Gemara, at the end of the story of Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, which I'm not going to go through now, but the end of the Gemara ends off, Amar Rabbi Loza, Ba'arei kama gudzeila koicha shal busha, sharisiya hakudsh baruch es Bar Kamsa, v'hichir es beisei, v'saaf es eicholei. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Loza, you see from here how terrible it is when a person is embarrassed, because as a result of Bar Kamsa being embarrassed, Hakudsh Baruch Hu aided and abetted him in his plans, which ultimately resulted in the Churban HaBayis. So I thought that would be a fitting subject for today's Shi, as we try and better ourselves in these days, leading up to Tish B'Av, and not that far away from Yom Noraim, is to look what the parshas have to tell us. The parshas, this parsha, the last few parshas, has been a consistent theme running through the parshas. If you look a little bit below the surface, in Rashi and other Rishonim, you find a number of different examples where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to great length to protect the feeling of others, and sometimes even the feelings of people who you might think deserve it the least. If we start with this week's parasha, the pasuk tells us in Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Vov, Vayishlach Oisom Moshe Elef Lemate Latzova Oisom, Mez Pinchas Ben Elozah HaKoyin Latzovach LeHakodesh Chatzoytzoy Satzua B'Yodzi. This is talking about when Moshe Rabbeinu was sending out when Moshe Rabbeinu was sending out the Klal Yisrael to wage war with Midian to avenge what they'd done by sending their daughters to be mezana with Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu sends out, he sends out 1,000 from each shevet, and Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen goes with them in the Milchama. Rashi straight away points out, Magid Shoya Pinchas Shoku Kenege Kulam. The first Pshat in Rashi is, this tells us that the Pinchas was on Madriga, he was on par with all of them. But then Rashi asks the Kashim, Nema Holach Pinchas V'loi Holach Elazar. Why did Pinchas go? Why didn't Elazar go? Really Elazar, Pinchas' father, was the one who should have gone. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Misha Hissel B'Mitzvah Shehor HaKosbi Basur Yigmur. The one who started off the mitzvah, he is the one who should finish it. I don't go into the second shot now, but the first shot in Rashi is that since Pinchas was the one who started by killing Cosby and Zimmi, therefore he's the one who's going to finish off the mitzvah, he's going to go and wage war. The Sifsi Chachamim asked, this is interesting, because the primary mitzvah which Pinchas did was killing Zimmi. Zimmi was the Nossi in Klal Yisrael. Zimmi was the one who was causing such a terrible Chilul Hashem. Cosby was the one who was participating in this act. Cosby was a goy. She was nothing to do with the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kamnoim Poiginboy was the mitzvah on Zimmi. So therefore, why is it called finishing off the mitzvah? What they're going now to do is to avenge the actions of Midian. That wasn't the primary mitzvah of Pinchas. Pinchas' primary mitzvah was against Zimmi. The Balaturim says something interesting. Tzurim says, one second. Sorry, Banatum says, Vayishlach is the Moshe Elef Matzah Latzoros from his Pinchos, Vanesim Leisholach Imoim. But the Nesim Moshe Rabbeinu didn't send with him. Normally the Nesim would have been the generals, they would have been the heads of the army that would have gone to battle. This particular occasion Moshe Rabbeinu didn't send them with. Why didn't he send the Nesim? Why did he change the battle plan from what normally happens? Kedei Shelo Yisbayish, in order not to embarrass Shevet Shimon, Shenerag Nosi Meshiftoi. Because Zimri was the Nosi of Shevet Shimon, and if Moshe Rabbeinu would have said that you follow the normal plan where all the Nasim lead out their soldiers to war, then Shevet Shimon is going to be standing there, all their soldiers, and they won't have their general. Why won't they have their general? Everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to look around and say, "Ah, your Nosi did what he did, and that's why you don't have a Nosi." So in order to prevent Shevet Shimon from having that feeling of embarrassment, Moshe Rabbeinu said, better to send them all to Milchama without their generals. Imagine you're about to wage war, and you don't just say, not only is one of the Shvatim missing their generals, which itself has ramifications, but you're saying, you know what, tell the entire general staff to stay at home, because we don't want to cause any bishus to the Shevet or Shimon. You see here, Chaim Shlevitz points out, you see here, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu Cheshbonos, Moshe Rabbeinu's Cheshbonos, constantly in the Machshava is, it's not about who caused it. Shimon caused it themselves. Zimmi was the one who was over. Why do we have to have Rachmanos on them? Let them reap the ramifications of their actions. We find HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Zimmi to Moshe, Mahurach, Mafaturachim, Moshe Rabbeinu, his Talmud learns that when you make a cheshbon, you always have to bear in mind the consequences of your actions, and you have to be sensitive to the feelings of those who might be affected, even if it comes about from a Maisa Rishus. And we find this Maisa in a number of places in the parashas before. If we go back 2 weeks to Parshas Balak, we find that we have the Pia Osin. The Pia Osin is something which the Mishnah in August tells us was created on Erev Shabbos of Sheshes Mebereshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the world and he said, there are 10 different occasions from now until Sofa Olam when I'm going to have to be Mishtana the Teva in a way that I have to now already create the necessary tools that are going to be required at that time. And one of those 10 occasions was the Pia Osin. Piyasin is a very interesting thing. I don't know if you had, I'm sure during the week you had Shurim on Piyasin. Piyasin is actually a phenomenon which nobody got to witness other than a very few amount of people. In fact, Chazal say that the whole parsha of Bilam is a parsha which shows the Munim B'tochen of Klal Yisrael, because we write it in the Torah and yet none of Klal Yisrael witnessed it. And we have it in there amongst all other parshas which hundreds of thousands of Klal Yisrael saw, but the whole parsha of Bilam nobody saw. And the fact that we have it in there as part and parcel of the Torah bears testimony to the fact that we're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what happened. We put it in there, in our Torah, together with everything else. But the Piyasin was a phenomenon which was created mamish in Sheshis Mebreshis for this particular time. As Uchayim Shulevitz, Uchayim Shulevitz brings to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Perichov Beis Pasuk Lama Gimel. The Malach is standing in front of Bilam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now opened the eyes of Bilam, and now all of a sudden Bilam can see that, behold, there is Taka, a Malach standing in front of him. And they have a discourse between the Malach and Bilam. And the Malach tells him, Atzirani Osun, Atzik Lefonei Zeh Sholosh Ugolim, Ulai, Nod So Miponai Hi Atakam, Oisro Horakti Va Oisro Hechiesi. Says the Malach, if you wouldn't have been able to see me now, if you wouldn't have stopped because of this whole balagam where you hit the osin, and the osin spoke and everything else, if you would have carried on, if the osin wouldn't have stopped you and prevented you from your way, I would have killed you. And says the Malachi, adds in two words at the end, if I would have killed you, then the osin would have lived. Zog Rashi, what do you mean the osin would have lived? Said Rashi, but now that I'm not killing you, and you Bilam are going to still be around, says Rashi, but now that the Osun has given you Techocha and you weren't able to withstand the Techocha, you had no time back to the Osun, now I need to kill the Osun. Why? The Malach had to kill the donkey. Why did he have to kill the donkey? There's actually an amazing thing. What's the reason that the Malach had to kill this Osun? Because otherwise, what would have happened? Bilam HaRosha was the Rosh Amin Om. He was the highest person in the non-Jewish world at the time. And everywhere this donkey would have gone, people would have pointed at the donkey and said, that's Bilam's donkey, that's the one that put him in his place, and he had nothing to tie him back. And the bishus that would have caused, to Bilam was such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that you have to kill this Osun. Why? Shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKovod
HaBris. Nobody saw the action.
But Vaisa's people knew about it. Word spreads. Talking donkeys don't happen so often. So, Ruchayim Shulevitz asks the Kashu. Ruchayim Shulevitz says, like, can you imagine how the cure of movements, this is not the way he phrases it, I'm phrasing it. Can you imagine how Eish HaTeira, Eish HaMeach, whoever you want, would all be tripping over themselves to get a hold of this donkey? Imagine you've got a genuine talking donkey who's tining Etzem Zach. He's not tining like a donkey. He's tining Etzem Zach. He's talking mamish the way it is. Imagine the Kiddush Hashem that could have been created. This is a donkey which was created in Bries Olam for a tachlis. He's had his 3 minutes of airtime now. Why kill it? Keep it alive and let it be Makar of the Olam. And nevertheless, I could say, no, you've got to kill it. Why do you have to kill it? Because there is a person who will be embarrassed if this donkey is walking around. Says Ruchaim, who is this person? Who is the person we're so worried about? This is Bilam HaRosha, a person who had done manuvaldika things with this osun. A person who himself was Mamish HaRosha Marusha. A person who was out intentionally trying to be Mekalel Kal Yisrael and only couldn't because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow those words to come out from his mouth. And yet, this is the person who we're prepared to worry about his feelings. We're going to be sensitive about his feelings to such an extent that we're going to give up on the potential kiruv opportunity, the potential kiddush Hashem that can happen from this osun. As you say, who actually got to see this osun? Nobody, because they killed it there and then, instead of what could have happened, because we're worried about the feelings of one man. We're worried about the feelings of a rosha. Says Reb Chaim, we find the same thing two parshas before that as well. We find the same thing in parshas Korach. The pasuk in Korach, Perek Yudzayin, pasuk Beis, this is after Korach and Adosa have stood up against Klal Yisrael, against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Aaron, and they've been told, you know what, you want to have an ultimate test, who is Takah been appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bring your fire pans. Bring your fire pans, and everyone should bring them, 250 people, plus Korach, plus Moshe Aaron. Bring your machtos, and we'll see what happens. And they brought their machtos, and what happened was, we all know the story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down the Eish Mashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the Adoma, which swallowed them up. And after that, Perek Yudzayin begins with the after effects. So, Yedav HaShem HaMoshe Lemo, Emor El Elozo Ben Aaron HaKoyin, The Yorim is a machdis between a strefa, so ish zorea holam kikodeshu. Now says Hakadosh Baruch Hu says Moshe, go and instruct Aaron. He should pick up all these machdis, and what they're going to do with these machdis, they're going to use them as a covering on the mizbeach. The Rachaim Hakadosh points out, why is it that Hakadosh Baruch Hu told them lozo? Again, why lozo? Why wasn't it Aaron? Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is the one responsible. He's the Kohen Gadol. Why didn't he send Aaron? So in one shot, the Ohr HaChaim says, you know why I didn't send Aaron? Because Aaron is the one who this whole thing happened because of. The whole Ma'aseh Korach happened. Not that Chas V'Shalom Aaron had done anything wrong in the slightest. But Aaron HaKohen was the one who Korach said it's not fair. There's nepotism going on here. Moshe Rabbeinu is the manik. Aaron HaKohen, he's the Kohen. Look, it's not right. And since they were challenging Aaron directly, and they got their comeuppance, Taka, they were all nifter, but it wouldn't have been sensitive for Aaron to be the one to now come out, so to speak, saying, look, you see who's right. So Aaron wasn't the one. Aaron was, so to speak, kept on the side, and then Lozo's the one who brought out these machtas. So Zuchaim, you see from here, a phenomenal lesson. Who are we dealing with constantly in all these parshas? We're not dealing with the Gedoli Hadori, we're not dealing with Mamish Tzadikim. We're dealing even with Rishoyim, we're dealing with people who have what's coming to them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides Kechut HaSara, what a person's meant to receive, and what a person's not meant to receive. And we can't in any way add a kiyuzah, even a comment or an action which in any way would be insensitive or would cause extra elements of bishus is not allowed and not tolerated, even if it means being mavata on potential opportunities. Lamaisa, we find this concept, I'm sure you've had this mentioned here over the years many times, but it's worth just mentioning again. We find this concept the Netziv in HaTomas Sefer Bereishis brings the famous words of Bilam, Thomas Nashim Meis Yishorim, and then the Netziv goes into great length explaining how the reason why the Avos HaKadoshim were called Yishorim is because they saw things from a clear perspective. And by them, it didn't make a difference whether they agreed with people's mentality or didn't agree with people's mentality, but they treated every single human being like a mensch. Ad kedei kach, that we find that Avraham Avinu, who is the Amud HaChesed, he epitomized Chesed. When you picture Avraham Avinu's home in your mind, you think of a tent with four doors open to bring in Orchim as much as possible. What is the antithesis of Avraham Avinu? Sodom. Sodom is a place where there's a big sign outside saying, guests are not welcome. And anyone who doesn't read it and comes into Sodom has to suffer the consequences, gets punished, gets tortured. Sodom is a place which you would think, when Avraham Avinu hears, is about to get destroyed, he'd clap his hands with glee and say, Baruch Hashem, I've been waiting for such an occasion. Instead, what happens? There's a whole handlerai. Avraham Avinu starts trying to bargain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, Efshe 50 people, Efshe 40, 30, 20, 10. Efshe, you can save them. What's going on? So it's not because Avraham Avinu agreed with the mentality or the approach of Sodom. Chas v'shalom, they were Rishoyim. But nevertheless, they were human beings. And the kunz of the Avos HaKadoshim was that the Avos treated every single person like a mensch. Says the Netziv, as opposed to the time of the Churban, when we had people who were of a particular level in Yiddishkeit, or in Chumras, or in Hiduim, whatever it might be, and they looked at anybody who wasn't on their Madrega as treif, which resulted in a tremendous sin of skinam and ultimately with tzicha. That was taka what was going the Churban. Says the Netziv, the Thomas Nashim is Yishorim, the one word picked out to sum up the obvious of Yishorim is a concept of treating everybody like a mensch. This concept, Lemaisa, of Kovet HaBrias, the Menschlichkeit, goes all the way back to Bria Solem. Goes all the way back to Bria Solem. You have the famous Boskim in Bereishis, Vayoyim Elekim, Nasa Odom, Metzalmenu, Kip Mesenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let us make man in his image. And Rashi points out straight away, Afal Pi Shleis Yu B'tziyosei, Chas V'Sholom, to think and say that the Malachim helped HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Nasa? Nasa is a plural lashon. Let us make man. Who else was making man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam. And you might think that this comes to mean that the Malachim Chas V'Sholom were mishtatif from the Bria of Adam. But Yashmokim Leminim Lirdois, this gives the opportunity to Apikorisim. It's a perfect opportunity. The one place of man. Look, brilliant. You see, Nasa. Nevertheless, Leinimna Akosim Lamedcha Derech Eretz Umidas Anova. Shehi Agodol Nimlach Benoit Lushus Minakotin. Says Rashi, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in a way that, you know, imagine you're planning your summer holidays. So you turn to your child and you say to your child, you know, where should we go this year? You've already booked the holidays, you know exactly where you're going. But you know, you give the child a geschmacka feeling. The child gives a day, you can have a little bit of discussion. The child thinks, oh, you know, my opinion is important to you. Not necessarily will you listen to it, but at least I had an opinion. I was entitled to opinion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with the Malachim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Malachim, come. Let's make man. Not that they were mishtatzev akiyus there, but nevertheless it's derech eretz to try and include smaller for the godol to include ketanim in as well. If Shach points out on this medrash, Shach points out, he says, do you know we spend we have many stories over our history where Klal Yisrael have gone to their deaths with Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekino Hashem Echod. It's the number one tenet, the first tenet of Klal Yisrael is Hashem Echad. Of all the psukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to write Naseh to teach us Derech Eretz, he had to do it here to give the opportunity to the minimum apikorsim to make a big noise about the fact, you see, there's more than one God, Chas V'Shalom. You see from here how choshev Derech Eretz is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now right here, right at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in a lesson that you have to try and treat people properly. Rabbi Cholom Asman has a different understanding of this medrash and the positioning of it. Rav Cholom explains that we say every day Leisusur Achei Levavchem. The Gemara tells us what's the Leisusur Achei Levavchem? Zuminus. This is Avodah Zorah. Rav Cholom asks, it's a pella. Normally, you think of Avodah Zorah as an Avodah Sichli, as an Avodah Sichli. You know, a person thinks he's decided, he's looked into all of it, and he's decided that this is Taka, the religion that he wants to follow, or this is the Avodah Zorah that he wants to serve. Avodah Shebelev. Why is Avodah Shebelev? Explains to Rabbi Chanan, the reason is, Be'etzem, if a person has proper middos, they wouldn't have any problem with their munam b'tochen at all. They would never come across Avodah Zorah. And what's the biggest raya? The biggest raya is that a boy at the age of 13, a girl at the age of 12, has a chiyuv to be ma'minim. Now if it was taka such a complex type of thing which a person had to absorb and study and philosophize over, so then you'd have to reach a certain age, a certain maturity. How can it be at the age of 13 and 12 you expect a child to be ma'minim, proper ma'minim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, because as long as you've got mitzvos tovus, then it's poshut to you. Says Rav Cholom, but when a person's got a chisoron with their mitzvos, then all of a sudden, they start justifying, they start coming up with a lot of different tzuritzim. And Melech Rav Cholom, Leisusuachri Levarchem Zuminus, yes, because that's the problem starts with the lev. When a person's got bad mitzvos, that's when taki results in mitzvos. So Rav Cholom explains, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach us a lesson in Emunah, and he wants to teach us that Hashem Echad Shmei Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one, then the best way to do it is by giving us Taka lesson Derech Eretz. Okay, the best way to Taka teach us is by putting right here, Nas Eldam B'Tzalmenu, that Rashi can come and tell us, you have to realize, you have to treat people properly, because if you're treating people properly, I'm not in the slightest bit worried about where your Emunah will be. If I don't teach you Derech Eretz, I can write the Pasuk exactly however it's meant to be written, and you'll still come along and manage to twist it this way and twist it that way. We find many, many different stories with the Gedolim, and how careful they were with Menschlichkeit and sensitivity to others. One particular story, I think, is a very choshev story, is the story of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky made the point that whenever he walked into yeshiva, he always took a side entrance to come out mamish by his place at the front at Mizrach, because he was worried if he'd walk in from the back and walk all the way through the yeshiva to his place, it means the whole yeshiva has to stand up, and he didn't want to be matriach the olim in the yeshiva. One year at an Aguda convention, he was there with Rav Shneur Kotler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. And Rav Shneur was about to walk and kind of lead Rav Yaakov the way around to come out on the top of the dais, instead of walking mamish from the back door all the way through the thousands of attendants that were there. And Rav Yaakov stopped and said, no, we're going in through the main door. And Rav Shneur said, well, she was always so makbid, not so much Shriach people, it doesn't get a bigger oil than here, and now you're going to walk in through the back door. So Rav Yaakov turned around and said, yeah, but tonight's different. Why is tonight different? Because our wives are here. He said, our wives are the ones who are Mesa Nefesh, enabled us to prepare Shiurim, and to learn, and to lead our lives, and they're the ones who carry that burden for us. Imagine how they're going to feel if they're sitting and they see the whole hall get up, and then they look and they crane in their neck and they see who they're getting up for. Oh, they're getting up for my husband. Imagine what a geschmack of feeling that is for them. We have no right to deprive them of that feeling. And therefore we're going into the front door. That's a gadol, a person who's oiske cheshens, everything, each way, mamish, everything weighs up. We've got, there's a famous story with I think it was the Sar Sholem of Belz, I'm not sure if I've said it here once before, there's a famous story with him, where he was by his Seder night with his mother, and a close group of Hasidim, and his mother was an elderly lady, and her teeth weren't working so well anymore. And she took a piece of matzah, and she dipped it in the soup to make it softer, and she ate it. And for Shteitzer, there was a collective gasp around the room, right? Chometz. And, I can say that. And what's going on? And all of a sudden, his mother realized that, you know, she's done something wrong here. You know, that she. So the Sar Sholem bent over and bent off a bit of the matzah and ate it. Says, you know, it's taka good like this. Right? And some Hasidus, that would start a whole new minik, you know. So afterwards, you know, the Hasidim were shocked. You know, what's going on? So they didn't say anything then. Afterwards, they came to say, Rebbe, what's going on? So he said, the inyan of not having gebrox is a minik. Minik is all kedushim chasachon. That's not machavek of a minik. Accuse it. But the inyan of having not having gebrox is a minik. Kibud over aim is a mitzvah say in the Torah. You know, everything's got to be put in its right place. Everything's got to be looked at properly. Sometimes a person can get so caught up running after the toffle and then lose track of all the ikkum. And finally, there's a famous story of the Moshe, and it really sums up the vot of the Netziv of Yeshayim. There's a vot of Moshe, Chaim Halpern told me, Be'enai Ra'isi. There's a vot of Moshe Feinstein, where Moshe was coming out of Yeshiva, and there was a large group of Gedolim who were there to meet him. They were going to have a meeting with him about something. And he was there wearing his talis and tefillin, and he came out, and the janitor on the side, the janitor was cleaning on the side. And Moshe walked over and he said, Jimmy, how are you this morning? How's it going? How's your wife? How are your children? But it wasn't a token. Then they had a whole sikhsuk about the fact that his son has applied for university. He's not sure if it's the right university. What does Moshe think? And they had a whole back and forth discussion here about exactly what was the best university for his son. All the gedolim are there. Moshe was in his house, and Moshe was a person who made gavra learn from safe. He didn't waste a second. But nevertheless, he realized that there's no less of a mensch as this person here than the Rabbanim Gedolim are waiting for me. I have to treat every person like a mensch. And Pashas, that's the vot, which the concept, this concept of Rabbi Chonon, of Yashus. What's the reason why the Netziv is saying Yashus? Yashus, normally we think of as meaning seeing things clearly, seeing things properly. Rabbi Chonon says a person who's got Midas Tovus sees things clearly, treats people, every person like a mensch, doesn't get caught up with the Tofen and lose track of the Ikka. Shkoyach.